Our second scripture this morning is Paul's letter to the Galatians. In the sixth chapter, the first 10 verses. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible or Pew Bible or the screen, you're welcome to. If you'd like to just listen in these words for what God's word says to us today. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each of you should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share good things with their instructor. But do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh reaps destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit reaps eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, in the aftermath of busy weekends and holidays and family gatherings and all of the rest, may your word find us this morning in our life. Speak that which we need to hear and help us listen, that we might also live it. In Christ we pray. Amen. When someone sins, be gentle with them and be careful that you are not tempted. I've been waiting over a month to tell you all this story. Jane and I recently flew to Dallas for a funeral. We boarded a plane in Minneapolis at 6 a.m. It was a fairly short night before that, and we planned on sleeping on the plane. What we did not plan on was someone playing music, specifically 80s and 90s rap music, right behind us without headphones. We started off thinking, do planes play music now? Is that a thing? We quickly realized it wasn't a thing. It was coming from behind us. And I began to think, what is going on here? Is this a person who wants to fight? Is this a person with a chip on their shoulder? Is this some spoiled kid? What kind of psycho does this? And I tried, the person was immediately behind Jane. Jane was to my left, and I tried pretending I was talking to Jane to get a glimpse of the offender, and it looked to me like a middle-aged woman with red hair, and now I was totally confused. We decided to be Midwestern nice and ignore it, though I continued to think very unkind thoughts in my head. At one point, the music got significantly louder, and Jane turned and glared at me like I had the volume button. But I just smiled because now I was working on a theory that this person was a psychology professor who gets on planes at 6 in the morning, plays rap music, and sets a timer to see how long it takes for someone to snap. And I decided my name is not going in her dissertation. That's going to be my wife. Yes, ma'am. Jane. And I think it was about 8:30 when she jumped over the seat. Well, I suppose we're about two-thirds of the way to Dallas when we hear a flight attendant who was walking by say, "Miss, your music is too loud. Turn it down." And I'm thinking, dude, where were you 20 minutes ago when Baby Got Back was playing? But it goes instantly silent. And I think to myself, oh, no. And so now I have to look. So I do the pretend to talk to my wife thing again, and I go a little bit farther, And sure enough, this nice middle-aged woman with red hair has headphones in that she thought were plugged in. And I assume at some point she thought, these headphones are terrible, and she turned them up, never knowing that she was the only one who couldn't hear her music, while unintentionally treating the rest of us to an early morning playlist of Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer and Sir Mix-a-Lot. Turns out she's not a psycho at all. She was struggling to figure out how headphones work. And then I thought, you know, it's funny how quickly the label antisocial jerk can switch places. And if there was a psycho on board, they might have been sitting in my chair. As now, for about 90 minutes, I have invested in hating this lady who's just trying to hear her music. And maybe it was because we were at 30,000 feet, but I swear I could hear God laughing. And I didn't even know he liked rap music. If someone sins, be gentle. And take care that you are not tempted. Paul writes these words to the church in Galatia, which was a mess. They were a struggling church. And Paul feels compelled to say some hard things to them to try and show them how to live together in Christian harmony, Christian community, which they have not been doing well. The opening line, this is what he goes with: when someone sins, be gentle, or you might be tempted. And understand here, he doesn't mean tempted by whatever their sin is. The temptation of those who look on others' sin is judgment, is arrogance, thinking you are more than they are, thinking you are above them, superior to them. Which I think is why Paul adds, if you think you're something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. If we overestimate our value, our worth, our ability, our intelligence, and we underestimate others, we practice deception. And at its worst, the church and Christians in it can be the harshest and least gracious critics of other people's sin, though somehow our own sin seems less offensive. Paul says to the Christians in Galatia and to those who follow, test your own work. Mind your own business first before you stick your nose in other people's. Challenging the community of Galatia to watch out for each other, to treat one another with gentleness, lest the non-sinners become sinners by judgment and gossip and failing to practice love. Summed up, he says, bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which Eugene Peterson in The Message says, if you think you're too good for that, you are badly mistaken. Christian community, Christian oneness works best when love and grace outperform judgment and criticism. When the burden that we help other people carry helps us as well. The word burden means weight. To help others carry their weight. And there's an interesting balance here with verse 5 that says just two verses later, all must carry their own load. Help others carry their weight, everyone must carry their own load. It seems like a contradiction. It's more of a dichotomy. The words help us here. The words are different. The word for load is a personal word. It means freight. It means that which cannot be transferred. It has to be borne by the person who owns it. This, in the language of our day, might be baggage, our personal stuff. The stuff you have that is yours and yours alone to deal with. Our personal struggles, our sins, our history, our biases. This is the stuff that you and I have to manage personally to follow Christ well. It is unique to me. It is unique to you. It is our stuff. No one else can carry these. They might help us. They might encourage us. They might share wisdom with us. They might challenge us. But this is the stuff that we alone can shoulder. Burden that each of us has on our own to bear. And we all have them. And remembering that we all have them gives us some humility when we observe the baggage of others. And it gives the passage this wonderful balance. Bear each other's burdens and carry your own load. In community, it is best when both are true. When those who are doing well will also help others. And when those who need help will also help themselves. Without compassion, those who are struggling get left behind. Without accountability, those who need help always need more help and never get past their sticking point. Paul gives us this wonderful twofold wisdom. Help each other and carry your own weight. The best of both worlds and the best way to be community. Then he moves on. Share with those who help you live the faith. Don't be deceived. You reap what you sow. What you follow is where you go. If you follow sin, you end up with corruption. If you follow faith, you end up with life in Christ. Don't give up. Don't be weary in doing good. I don't know how long it's been there now, maybe 7 or 8 weeks. But it was a particularly trying day when I felt like I was at the end of trying to help people. And I wrote this verse on my whiteboard in my office. Do not be weary in doing good. The word weary is important. The word good is important. The word good in Greek is bigger than it is in English. Good in Greek means beautiful. It means well. It means praiseworthy, honorable, noble. It is the work of Christ, which is beautiful, but can be exhausting. It is hard to be noble. It is hard to be loving. It is hard to reflect Jesus at 6 a.m. when the lady behind you is playing rap music on a plane, or when someone you know hurts you. Or someone you don't know does something horrible. Doing good is hard work. Tiring work. The word weary in Greek means to lose heart. It means to be fatigued on the inside. How about this? One commentary says, to be negatively influenced with the outcome of experiencing inner fatigue, essentially to be soul tired, be worn down. Ever been there? Trying to do good? Seems wasted, seems pointless, seems futile, doesn't seem to be helping. And you think to yourself, why keep trying? Doesn't seem to matter. So much needs done. So much can't be fixed. People are people. The world is broken. It leaves you weary on the inside. And the temptation is to become selfish and just take care of me. Paul, who knows this, says to the church, do not give up. It is worth it. Do not quit. Do not let weariness stop you. And he ends with this wonderful verse, whenever you have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all. Whenever you get the moment to speak encouragement, to give assistance, to share graciously, let us do it. Let us do the work for the good of all, especially those in the faith, which perhaps sounds selfish. But I think Paul knows if the church can't practice love inside, it has no chance of being able to do it outside. And as we come to a close in the passage, I want you to notice something. Paul has used words like work and bear and carry and reap at least 10 times in these 10 verses. Lest anyone think that living in Christian community or living the Christian life at all is easy, I assure you it is not. It is work. It is hard work. And it is tiring work. Paul calls the church, stay at it. Don't give up. Don't grow jaded. Don't grow weary. Don't grow judgmental or harsh. Work hard, but don't become hard. Remain open to the needs of others. Be gentle. Do good. Find noble, beautiful, praiseworthy things and work at them with passion and persistence. You may get tired. Do not become weary. I titled this sermon, The Best Kind of Tired, after a story that I once read about a pastor who had had a youth group in their church go on a mission trip. And when the mission group got back, he went to the church to welcome them back. He was helping them unload the trailer and waiting with them as the parents showed up to pick kids up and whatnot. And one young man, once he had his stuff unpacked, went over to a tree and just slumped down sitting at the tree. And the pastor went over and engaged him and he said, "Did you have a good trip?" He said, "Yeah, it was great. Did you have fun?" "Yeah." "Did you do some good stuff?" "Yeah." "Did you work?" "Yeah." He said, "Are you tired?" And the young man said, "Oh, yeah. But pastor, it's the best tired I ever felt." The best tired I ever felt. Church, may the things that make us tired be the things that make God glad. May the things we work on be the things that God calls good. And of all the kinds of tired, may ours be the kind that glorifies God, so that the places we invest our energy and our effort are life-giving to us and to others. Following Christ may make us tired. Let it not make us weary. And whenever we have the opportunity, let us do good in Christ's name. And let us do it well, with joy and gratitude and praise. Amen.